Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome, everyone, to Take 2 of the Back Brief. Today, my guest is the infamous, the famous, the now retweeted Abby Bennett. Abby, welcome to the Back Brief Take 2.
Thanks for having me, Rod.
And there's a reason we're calling it Take 2. And I'm, you know what? This is between me and Abby. This is Take 2. But I just want her to know that I know that you know, and now you know. It's Take 2.
We all know.
We all know. Abby, tell us why you are the lady of the hour. What did you do? Who's retweeting you?
I don't know that I would call it that, but I recently had a tweet of mine shared on Facebook and Twitter by former Vice President Joe Biden, who is also, as we know, a presidential candidate this year. And it was a story about how issues at USPS are causing delays for mail order prescriptions, specifically for veterans, but also for other folks, delays that have lasted, weeks in some cases. But former Vice President Joe Biden took it as an opportunity to sort of, I guess you could say, dunk on current President Donald Trump. By saying, if he were to be elected president, things like that wouldn't happen and he would take care of veterans and et cetera, so forth. But he has quite a few followers. So obviously that got that story quite a bit of attention.
So tell me about that story. So we know that the a lot of veterans, their medications are being held up, postal office. How is this Trump's fault? Why is this a situation where if Rod were the president, it wouldn't happen on my watch? Why is this an issue?
So, I mean, you could say that anything that happens while an administration is in office is their fault. I think that's happened to pretty much every president who has ever held that office. But in this case in particular, a lot of these delays, at least with the veterans that I spoke to, and I've now spoken to more than 100 veterans and caregivers and dozens of VA pharmaceutical workers and USPS workers, as well as a couple of pharmaceutical contracting companies. And what they said is that most of these started around July, which is after President Trump appointed a new postmaster general. And this individual issued a memo to USPS sort of creating some new policies, mostly for cost savings and efficiency. And one of those is that mail carriers are discouraged from using overtime to, sort of come back and get deliveries and make them the same day. And so effectively what's happening is that packages are staying in facilities longer because there aren't as many deliveries happening, or the routes aren't as long, because from the Postmaster General's perspective, he doesn't want people's routes to be delayed or them to work longer hours because that's more expensive, of course. But at the end of the day, when they're working fewer hours, that means fewer packages get delivered. So that is the big reason why a lot of people are attaching the president's name to this, because this is a leadership change that he made, and there's been a lot of criticism for that. And there's been a lot of disparagement of the new Postmaster General because he is also a very prominent donor to President Trump.
So wait, he's a donor?
Yes. He's a very, very, very prominent donor to President Trump's campaigns.
I didn't know that. So I guess that's where some of the controversy must come into play. Yeah. Like, the guy's a donor. He gets to be Postmaster General. Is this kind of like, you know, if I donate enough money, I get to be like Secretary of Defense? Can I?
So appointments to the president's cabinet in some cases have to be approved by Congress, and the Secretary of Defense is one of those. But that's one of those things where if you are president, you have the authority to choose the folks who will serve in certain positions in government, in your cabinet, and in other positions. And that's his right. There are lots of other presidents who have appointed donors, even family members in some cases, to positions in their administration. So it's not a new thing. It's something that's often criticized in lots of different administrations, no matter what political party they are. But it is definitely a big source of criticism in this case.
Now, I know a lot of folks might look at that and be like, this is cronyism. We shouldn't do that. I don't look at it that way. I see this as an opportunity, folks. This is the American dream. I mean, when people tell the child, you can be whatever you want to be, you really can if you make enough money. I mean, at that point, it's like, I want to be the Postmaster General of the United States. I just got to donate, you know, $20 million to whatever candidate is on the ballot, whoever wins. I get to be Postmaster General, and then you could get your picture taken with. I assume the Postmaster General wears a uniform like a Postmaster General with like stars and.
I don't know that they give him a hat, black jacket or anything like that. But what I will say when it comes to things like this is, you know, I'll be the first person to say that money in politics is the source of an enormous number of problems in this country. You know, things can always be traced back to money in politics. But one thing that's important to remember is that when a president is appointing his cabinet, he wants to appoint people who he trusts, who he feels are loyal to him and will carry out things and policy that aligns with his personal views. And that's any president ever. And so in that case, sometimes you do have instances where it's someone who has supported him in the past, you know, maybe a campaign, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's, you know, lots and lots of different people. And it's completely fair to criticize that no matter who it is, because, you know, as the American people, we want the best person for the job. And, you know, many of us don't necessarily care how loyal or friendly that person is with the president. You know, when we are at work, we want to work with people who are good at their jobs, and it, you know, shouldn't necessarily be personal. I don't necessarily want to work with everybody who's my best friend, just because they're my best friend. But, you know, it's been really important to current and former presidents that they surround themselves with people who they believe support them.
So what has the VA said about this whole medication uphold or hold up, I should say?
Almost nothing.
Surprise! Wait, hold on. You're telling me the VA didn't say anything about, I don't know, their patients or their clients not getting the medication on time? What a surprise. The VA said nothing.
Well, they said almost nothing to me. I've asked VA several times to confirm that there are delays, to talk about what VA is doing to combat those delays and things like that, to try and get folks some answers, because, you know, if they're seeing those delays, it's obviously concerning. They want to know, you know, is this temporary? Is VA doing anything to, you know, prevent this from happening? You know, should I show up to my local VA to get my prescriptions instead? VA gave me a canned statement that was essentially telling veterans, you know, hey, we encourage you guys to make sure that your prescription orders are in ahead of time, you know, before you run out. And that's basically it. They said, you know, for emergency prescriptions, they are going to try and fill those at your local VA. But as we all know, a lot of people don't live anywhere near a VA. And that's what's really important to understand about this story, is that about 80% of all prescriptions filled by VA are done through mail order. And most of those are done at these massive hub pharmacies. There's seven of them across the country, and they put out hundreds of thousands of prescriptions every single day. And 90% of those are through USPS, not through UPS, not through FedEx, USPS. And what's amazing is that many, many, many of the veterans and caregivers that I've spoken to said they've never seen a delay before. Often they get their prescriptions earlier than they were expecting. So now to be waiting a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, however long it's been, has been very unsettling for them. So it's also very difficult then if VA depends on these massive mail order facilities to then fulfill those prescriptions locally, because the local pharmacies just aren't set up to provide all the prescriptions that are necessary for everybody who's a patient at that VA.
So I have a solution for this. Turn the VA into another branch of the Army or branch of the military. Look, we have Space Force. We have the Marine Corps, the Navy, the Air Force, the Army, Coast Guard. Why not make like a vet force? You know, like active duty people whose job it is to take care of veterans across the country. You know, like actually have satellites, small, almost kind of like a reserve unit or like a National Guard armory. Just put a lot of them all over the state. So that way they could actually do their own deliveries. They could have their own facilities, and you could actually have a general, like a real general, not a postmaster general, whatever the hell that is, a real general in charge who actually understands the system. Let us take care of ourselves. You know, like, I think that would be kind of cool. I'm sure somebody right now is thinking that's impossible for the following Title 10.
Well,
budgetary reasons, whatever.
I will say that one thing that comes up again and again with VA issues is the working relationship between VA and DOD, right? Like
the lack thereof.
Right. Like the electronic health record system that they've been working on for many, many years and billions of dollars that still is not in place. A lot of the issues with that were that DOD and VA are supposed to create this universal health record, but they're two giant federal agencies that don't work together a lot, even though you'd think that they would, and that don't work together very well in general. But as far as what VA is doing about these prescription issues, VA wouldn't tell me, but I did speak to somebody who is familiar with some conversations they've had with Congress last week. And what they told Congress is essentially they are switching to FedEx and UPS in certain situations, especially for those really, really important medications. That's a temporary switch. They're also sending those prescriptions early. Now we're unclear about if that's all prescriptions, because some medications are very highly regulated, you know, things like pain medication and other strong drugs where you're not supposed to get them early. You're only supposed to have what you have at the time. And they also are creating a special code with USPS so that medication packages can be recognized and prioritized.
And stolen. Let's be honest with ourselves, guys. The minute you're like, hey, this is OxyContin, sort it correctly. Gone. I don't know what happened, sir. All the green bags, gone. Also, I'm filthy rich and I quit.
Well, let's hope that doesn't create a post office prescription drug ring. Fingers crossed. But it is important to recognize that an awful lot of prescription drugs in the United States are delivered by USPS, UPS, and FedEx. It is definitely not just veterans. And that's something, you know, especially when someone like Joe Biden shares a story like this, you've got a lot of people in the comments saying, oh, you know, it's not just veterans, you know, it's a lot of people who are seniors, who are disabled. And right now during the pandemic, it's a lot of people who are immune compromised who don't want to risk going to a pharmacy or going to a hospital, because for them, even if they take all of the normal precautions, they're still at much, much higher risk for complications from COVID. So it's very, very, very serious thing for a lot of folks. But you know, in our normal times, mail order prescriptions.
Back before the great sick sick.
Right.
Yeah.
Back before the great sick sick. Mail order prescriptions were really important to folks like seniors and people who are disabled who have difficulty just, you know, for you and me, we could just go drive to a pharmacy, drive to CVS, or even drive to a hospital to pick up our meds. But that's not an option for lots of people, and including lots of vets who are disabled and who don't have great support structures. You know, they don't have a family member they can just call and ask to go pick up their meds for them. So there's definitely a place for mail order prescriptions, and for veterans and normal Americans who live in rural and remote areas, USPS is especially important because UPS and FedEx don't always service those areas consistently every single day. And so it's really tough. It's a really tough situation to be in, but it's a very serious issue that has come up, and hopefully it's resolved really soon.
Yeah, I could tell some of the veteran groups that I'm in on Facebook, they seemed a little testy lately. That explains it. Like, just it's a meds. It's in the mail. Guys, chill out at home before you start writing your one giant 3-page paragraph style manifestos, which I've been seeing a lot of on Facebook lately. Our meds are on route. Guys, chill out. I am making light of it, but it is a serious situation. A lot of people's health, a lot of their safety is at risk right now because of money. I mean, it really just boils down to a money issue. And I am worried. I'll tell you, my biggest fear right now is that we might have gone past the point of no return in the sense of economic recovery to see anything like the days before the great sick sick. I've likened this to, we are wandering around a wasteland before it's a wasteland. Like before the
pre-Mad Max time.
Like the conditions for Mad Max are done. We're just in the pre-stage, like before the winds bring the sand dunes back over, before the buildings fall apart, before all that shit went down, before Mad Max was traveling around a wasteland, he was Mad Max traveling around an empty mall. And before that, Mad Max watching the stores have their going out of, you know, business sales. It wasn't just like overnight we're all wearing, you know, spikes and football gear. It was a gradual process. I worry that we're in that stage and that there is no Biden or Trump or Clinton or whoever is out there that thinks they have our solution. Maybe I'm just being a little grim. I don't know.
I don't necessarily think that's grim, but I definitely caution people away from the idea that a single person has all the answers or the solutions, or that, you know, even something as dramatic as a shift in the leadership of this country will mean that all of our problems will go away and all of our, we'll have all the solutions suddenly, you know, especially with something like economics. You know, granted, in this situation, a global pandemic and a shutdown of our way of life in many ways, is something that's happened quickly and certainly affected our economy very quickly. But economics are something that take years and years to develop. You know, the 2008 Great Recession didn't come out of nowhere. It didn't suddenly appear. It was something that happened over years and years and years. And these are very complicated things. And, you know, with this pandemic, you know, our recovery from it will take years and years and years. I really think that people need to consider more than just, you know, maybe our upcoming election and what tomorrow holds. I think this is we're in it for the long haul. The United States is a very resilient nation with a very resilient people. We've proven that time and time again. Our country has been through awful, awful experiences and come out the other side. Some people might say better for it, some might not. But, you know, I think it's important to realize what is in your control and what you can do, either related to the pandemic or not. But, you know, it's important to understand that it's not just about the coronavirus. It's not just about the November presidential election. You know, think about what's happening in your communities locally. That's where a lot of change happens. That's where a lot of people can make the most difference. Think about your local elections and your state elections. Those are situations where those decisions are far more likely to affect your daily life. They don't seem as high stakes. They don't seem as important, but those are the elections where your vote truly does matter. You know, I used to work in local news, and I saw elections decided by a handful of votes. And those are the positions in your communities that are going to affect every single aspect of your daily life. So, you know, and the same goes for your state elections and your elections to Congress. You know, those are people who are going to touch your lives a lot more on average than a presidency will. Not that that's not an important election. It certainly is. But in times like this, where people are so unsettled and there's so much going on, it's really important to understand what you can control and what actions you can take. And one of the most important actions that we can take as American citizens and one of our greatest duties is to be responsible and informed voters. And with election season arriving very quickly, it's important to understand that it's a lot more than just our presidential election that's on the line. And there's a lot more at stake for you as an individual. And there's a lot more that you can do as an individual as we move through these really uncertain and really in a lot of ways frightening times. It's yeah. scary mm-hmm. and it's difficult. But the American public has proven time and time again that we are very powerful when we come together, when we are able to be united in certain things.
I'm just tired of election season feeling like I'm the kid and my parents are fighting for custody. Like, am I going to go live with mom or going to go live with dad?
And there's usually upsides and downsides to both. And you may end up regretting your choice.
Which is why we should take our Democratic nominee and our Republican nominee and make them live in a house together and put film and cameras. It should be like Big Brother for 4 years. Make them live together. And I think that I would love that idea. Or hear me out, genetically mix them. Like just sew them together. And we have a conjoined twin president. They would rule together, kind of like
they might implode. Did you just say rule? They would rule together, Rod.
our presidents rule us. If they don't rule us, then how do you? If I believe a ruler can say you're a general and there's a postmaster general, so we've been ruled,
right,
we are being
that.
Ruled, and they're lizard people. You heard it here, folks.
Lizard
first,
people.
You heard it here first, folks. Lizard people, Biden,
lizard people
Trump.
2020.
Could we go? Could it be worse? Could it be worse?
Do lizard you welcome our lizard overlords?
I would welcome my lizard overlords with open arms, slithery tails. I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the amazing Abby Bennett. Abby, where can we learn more about you, Joe Biden, his retweet, the lizard people, whatever you're working on?
You can go to connectingvets.com, where all of my work and all of the work of our great teammates are always. We are also Connecting Vets on all of your social media platforms. And I spend entirely too much time on Twitter at Abby, A-B-B-I-E, the letter R, and Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T.
Abby R. Bennett. Folks, go check out her Twitter. Go retweet her stuff. And here's the thing, folks. If you're retweeting, if you're angry about this whole postmaster general thing, or maybe you're happy about it. Like, I like what Trump's doing with this, or Biden can suck it. Whatever it is that you guys want to say or do, before you do it, before you go retweeting and doing that, read the article. Read the article. Because, like, that's the thing that gets me. I know a lot of you guys retweeted it. I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you retweeted it, and you're like, I don't like it. Or you retweeted, yeah, I support this. You didn't even read it. You didn't even read it. Go read it. Get informed. Put the information in your, the information is in the computer. It's in the computer. So go in, check it out, read it, think about it, put it in your mouth, chew on it for a little bit, and then get on your Twitter and then get angry or happy or whatever it is you want. But make sure you're informed, for the love of God. We try so hard. I don't, because you just heard me. I act like a complete fool sometimes on this camera. But our genuine, legit reporters are very, very astute and attentive. They do everything they can to stay absolutely neutral, to report what they find to you. We're connecting vets, folks. We're veterans for veterans. We do what we can. We have veteran supporters. We have Abby's family is like, you know, they got a history of service and the whole nine yards. So we are not trying to take sides, man. The sides are bullshit. We're trying to look out for our connection.
The sides are bullshit.
The sides are bullshit. It's all bullshit. We're looking out for you, the veterans. Tell us what you think. Leave your comments below if you're watching me on YouTube. Leave your comments on Apple Podcasts. That's the only place that actually matters for podcast comments. Let's be honest. Spotify. Somebody explain to me why Spotify doesn't have like a ratings for their podcast or it's ridiculous. Anyways, leave us your ratings. Leave us your podcast reviews. We're very curious. Want to know what you're thinking. And that does it for me. Abby, thank you again.
Thank you.
You're amazing. And I am out.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.